Let us turn to the Word of God. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 16 and verse 13. Genesis 16 and verse 13. Genesis 16 and verse 13. The book of Genesis, chapter 16. And verse 13. The Bible says, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Praise God. The title of this message is Jehovah Roi. And keep in mind, we are familiar with this Hebrew phrase, Jehovah Roi. We always say, the God who sees me. But notice what Hagar says. She not only says that God sees her, but she says that she also sees God. Amen. And this is what this message is about. It's a twofold message. It is not enough that God is seeing you. He sees you anyhow, whether you want it or not, God sees you. The question is, do you see him? Hallelujah. So we need to see, we know, we should know that God sees us. And when God sees us, it requires a response. Amen. The response is, we should see him. Amen. Basically, Hagar is saying, I see you, God, seeing me. Amen. I see you, God, seeing me. Praise God. God is always looking at human beings, but not many of them are looking back at him. Praise God. So let's talk today about Jehovah Roi. It will perhaps come as a surprise for some of you that the Hebrew Jehovah Roi actually comes from the same phrase which says, The Lord is my shepherd. Praise God. Because a shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, over there it says in Psalm 23, David says, Elohim. Ra'ah, hallelujah. God is my shepherd. He is watching me. So the word ro'i, ra'ah, they come from the same root. Oh, praise God. This should begin to make you excited. Jesus is the shepherd. He said that he is the shepherd, the good shepherd. Amen. What does it mean that you're a good shepherd? Well, firstly, to be a good shepherd, you are constantly watching the sheep. Say, Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi. Elohim Ra'ah. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a carefree life sheep live. They're sheep, they relax. You know why? Because they know their shepherd is watching them. Jesus is the shepherd who is watching us. What is the number one job of the shepherd? Let us say to watch the sheep, to keep your eyes fixed on the sheep, to never lose sight of every sheep. Praise God. Do you know Jesus is watching you? He never loses sight of you. Praise God. When Nathanael came to Jesus, Jesus told him, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. Jesus can tell you where you've been in the last 24 hours, the last 7 days, the last week, hallelujah, the last month, the last year. You may have forgotten what you were doing 5 years ago. Jesus knows exactly where you were, what you were doing 5 years ago, 20 years ago, for me, 50 years ago, and some of you even more. Let's rejoice and say, Jehovah Roi, the God who sees me. He's not seeing you to catch you in some mistakes or some sin. That is not what a shepherd does. A shepherd is looking at his sheep because he doesn't want any harm to come to them. Praise God. So this is the watching that God does. Amen. You know, we don't like the watching that the government does through CCTV cameras. You know that those CCTV cameras are not really interested really in your welfare. Of course, in one sense, they're there to arrest criminals and see who is doing bad things to the public, and that is good. But it's not like those cameras are there to take care of you. They're not there to feed you. They're not really there if you, even when you're attacked, you know what they often do? They just go back in time to try to find out who is the perpetrator. Sometimes it may take a long time. So it's not like they are watching constantly and will react immediately. We know that doesn't happen. Although there are CCTV cameras all over the place. But our Jesus, our God, He watches us 24/7. Every minute, every second, He's watching us. This is the meaning of Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi is like a parent watching you. When you're a child and you are vulnerable, you can hardly walk, the parent keeps watching the child. The parent wants to make sure you don't hurt yourself. So Jesus is watching us. This is a beautiful thought for us to actually go into the new year with. Amen. Let's say in the new year, Jehovah Roi, the Lord is watching me in the new year. Praise God. The Lord is watching me in the new year. Praise Jesus. What a wonderful thought. In 2025, 24/7, Jesus is watching us. Hallelujah. Now, it was Hagar who first said, Jehovah Roi. Amen. What an amazing thing that it was an Egyptian, somebody who was not part of the promises of God, who actually gave us this wonderful phrase, Jehovah Roi. She's an Egyptian. She's been asked to leave, and still she claims that the God of Israel sees her. Come on, hallelujah. We need to rejoice. God is not just Jehovah Roi of Abraham and Israel. He is Jehovah Roi of all of humanity. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. I'm sure the whole of Egypt would say amen. They would say amen, as Muslims say, if they were to hear me speak now. Praise God, because we often just say so many negative things in the Bible about Egyptians. But here is an Egyptian who actually said, the God of Israel sees me. The God of Abraham sees me. Let me remind you, there was no Israel at that time. There was only Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and her, and Ishmael. She knew for sure, it was a certitude that the God of heaven is watching over me. Let's remember what happened in her life. She probably was a very young girl in those days. You know, they were given off to be married or be maids or have children at a very young age. We have to empathize with Hagar. It makes sense that the Arab world loves her a lot, Hajra, or she is like a big, very important figure, because she's the mother of, you could say, the Arab world, if you will. So we, from a biblical perspective, we understand that Hagar was marginalized. She was in a vulnerable position. She didn't feel like anybody really cared for her. Who's she? Just a poor Egyptian girl that perhaps Sarah found in Egypt and took her with her. She probably, anyhow, would experience a miserable life in Egypt. Her parents probably could not take care of her. And they said, just go. Or maybe she was an orphan. We don't know. She could have been an orphan. Who knows? And Hagar, you have to empathize with her. She grew up as the outsider with a capital O. She really didn't belong. And let me tell you, when you do not belong somewhere, it is one of the most defeating feelings that you can ever experience. It's a deflating experience, pessimistic. I don't belong in this place. I don't belong with this family. She was not treated well. It is one thing to be an Egyptian among this family who originally came from Syria. Remember what God told Moses? When people shall ask, who are you? Say, a Syrian about to die was my father. Amen. Today we're hearing a lot about Syria, yeah? In the news. And it sounds like good news. We hope so. We pray for Syria. But let's not forget, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26 and verse 5, the Bible says, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. So next time you look at Syria and think, what a tragedy. What a horrible nation. Don't forget, Abraham was a Syrian. Amen. You know, this is what I love about our God, because he's an international God. Hallelujah. Before there was an Israel, there was a Syria. So, in one sense, you would say, so the Israelites actually are Syrians? Yeah, he was a Syrian. I just gave you the scripture, I gave you evidence. Abraham was from Syria. Amen. That's why Ur of the Chaldees cannot be in Iraq, because Ur of the Chaldees is not in Syria. There is a Urfa, a place called Urfa. And this place called Urfa is actually in Syria. It's actually in the border between Turkey and Syria. And the people there already have a big mosque dedicated to Abraham. And you know what the names of the places around there are? Haran. Remember Haran? That's where Abraham sent his servant to go to his people in Haran. Laban, all of them were there. That's where Abraham was from. There is an Urfa in that area. There's another place near that area also called Terah. And you say, what has all that got to do with? All these are the names of the family of Abraham. Oh, praise God. Amen. So when you study the Bible, you'll be surprised to find that actually Abraham is not from Iraq, as all these pictures, these maps and all put it over there. No. He is from a place in Syria. Today it's in the border of Syria, Turkey, called Urfa. And near that place, you'll find all the names of Abraham's family. And the people who live there have never doubted. They've always said, we actually know he's from here. He went from here. And the names of these places are all here. Haran, Urfa, etc. If I can share just for the sake of our Bible study. I know there are people who love the Word of God. I'll share with you my screen. Have a look at this. Just a moment. Have a look at this map here. You see how. Now look at this map. Do you see that there are two Ur near Babylon under Chaldea, where they say Chaldea? But go up to where it says Assyria. See there, there is an Urfa and there is a Haran. Yeah? That's where Abraham really comes from, because where is Syria? If Abraham is a Syrian about to die, he cannot be from Iraq, from down near Babylon. He's a Syrian. Amen? And if you go to Urfa today, you see it on the map. Everyone there will tell you, no, Abraham is from here. We have a mosque with built to where, he was born. He was here from in Urfa. So till today they have the name of his family is in that area, Haran. If you read in the Bible about Haran, that's where Abraham, his family members were. And God told him not to go back to that place. Amen. So I hope we've learned something there. It's amazing when you see how the Bible record is true. History forgets things, tradition forgets things, but God's word is always true. God does not argue with people, he just gives the facts. And later down the road, they realize, oh, the Bible was always, it's a serious historical record. Hallelujah. So when we continue with the story, we have Hagar. She's not from Syria. She's not in any form or fashion related to the family of Abraham. Through no fault of hers, Sarah makes up this plot. She wants to help God. So she tells Abraham to have a child with Hagar. Hagar is a young girl. Because she was mistreated, she comes from a background of poverty. She becomes arrogant, bigoted when she becomes pregnant. And then she rebels against Sarah. So there was no peace in Abraham's family. Whenever you try to help God, you will end up being unhelpful to yourself. Let us never try to help God. Amen. He doesn't need our help. Too many cooks spoil the soup. Amen. Let God cook his soup. In his time, it will taste wonderfully. But if we try to put some ingredients and try to help God to cook the soup of our lives, you end up creating unnecessary problems. It really was not Hagar's fault. So, once we understand this background and we understand the pitiful condition of this young girl, we understand why, when she was chased out, and even God told Abraham himself, listen to Sarah. You listened to her the first time when you shouldn't have listened, but now I'm telling you to listen to her because, in a sense, she's now trying to correct her mistake. But she's not doing it in the right way. You don't just send somebody out to die in the desert. Could it be that that's what Sarah wanted? God forbid, I hope not. But here's the thing. See, what I'm trying to show you, don't misunderstand. We are not Muslims. Muslims believe that these prophets and their wives were so holy, they could never sin. That's what Muslims believe. We don't believe that. The Bible reveals the sins, the weaknesses, the foibles, the problems that all of these people had. They're human beings. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We humans, we make mistakes, but God always, if we repent, he fixes the problem. So now, let's follow Hagar. Hagar leaves. Basically, it's a death sentence. Go. We don't care where you go. We're not sending any food with you. We're not sending anything with you. It's a death sentence, whichever way you look at it. The desert is huge. She's sent with this child. Whatever else you may believe about him, don't forget he is also the flesh and blood of Abraham. Abraham loves his son. Amen. Abraham prayed for him. He said before, many times, he said, oh, that Ishmael may live. What a wonderful prayer. Amen. Sometimes, God forbid, if our children may not live with us, let us pray for them. Let's pray to Jesus and say, may Ishmael live before you. Amen. The prayers of Abraham are very powerful. Our prayers are very powerful. May our children live before you, my God. May they not die in the desert of this life. Hallelujah. May they remember they are the seed of Abraham. May they remember they are the seed of believers, apostolic believers. Praise God. Born of your spirit, born of your water, Jesus. We should never stop praying for our children. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't mind saying, just this morning, I was looking at a picture I hadn't seen for many years of several of our children in our church in Norway. This may be 10 years ago. They looked so small. They were really different. And I laid my hands and I prayed for them. Those were good times. And they were having fun in the Netherlands. Brother Lars is there in that picture. We were going through some tunnel, these scary tunnels and stuff. And I looked at some of them. They've grown up. They're over 20. And I said, may they live before you, my God. May they live before you. Hallelujah. Wherever they are, remind them of your call. Remind them of the faith of their fathers and mothers in Jesus' name. Praise God. May Ishmael live. So we follow Hagar. She felt nobody is watching her. Sometimes sheep feel that nobody is watching them. I'm lost. Where is the shepherd? Hallelujah. Have you felt that way in 2024? I'm here as the voice of the preacher to tell you, Jehovah Roy, he has never stopped following you. He has never stopped watching you. Hagar really thought she's going to die. She thought, I don't want to see the carcass of my child. What do you do in such misery? The scorching earth, the blazing sun, outside hopelessness, inside hopelessness. Thank God at that time we realize he has always been Jehovah Roy. He has always been watching us. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what Mary and Martha forgot. You know, sometimes when the storms of life are, really at their worst point, and you've lost hope, and you really think God is not going to save me, that's when he comes. Remember the apostles, fighting against the waves, they gave up hope, and then the Lord comes. Hallelujah. And then another time he's sleeping in the boat. Do you not care we perish? He stood up and he rebuked the waves, and then he rebuked them. Hallelujah. Jesus will rebuke the waves of our lives, but he will also rebuke us. Where is your faith? Hallelujah. You know what I learned? When it looks like I'm drowning, I've learned to just say, I will drown in faith if necessary. My God can save me. I'm not going to panic. Come what may. What else do you have, devil? I will go down in faith because Jesus can take me out by faith. Hallelujah. So don't panic when it looks like you're drowning. Don't panic when it looks like you're going to die of thirst. Don't panic because Lazarus is about to die. Amen. Keep your faith. I told today somebody over the phone, don't lose your faith. Amen. Doesn't matter if you lose everything else. If you lose your faith, it doesn't matter if you have everything else that you're talking about. You've lost your faith. What is the point of getting? Is your faith dependent on all of these things? No, in Jesus' name. I'd rather lose everything as long as, like Job, I don't lose my faith. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Faith. Hallelujah. More precious than gold. Jesus bought that faith. Amen. Do you know that the cost of our faith is the blood of God? That's why you can't joke with people who want you to compromise. I don't give, an iota of thought when I see somebody trying to get me to leave Christianity. I tell them, you better stop wasting your time. Let me tell you what my faith cost my Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you even have any idea what you're saying? Praise God. So, and I know some people regretted over the years that they even started. Our faith is the most precious thing in the universe. Hallelujah. It began with Father Abraham's faith. I'm speaking about him. Praise God. It's not for sale. It's not even up for discussion. Hallelujah. I can discuss with other people about their faith. With my faith, I witness. Hallelujah. I witness why I believe what I believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to look at Hagar. Her life was marked by trials. She left her homeland, family, to serve in this foreign environment. Poverty, necessity. Her journey with Abraham was fraught with tension, jealousy. And she was only a servant. That's why she was so shocked when she realized that actually God sees her. You know, it's strange that she said, oh, Jehovah Roy. In other words, it's like, oh my God, you see me. I didn't think as an Egyptian that you would see me. Oh, hallelujah. God sees the Egyptian. Amen. You know, the God of the Bible has never had any issue with Egyptians, by the way. We act like they were always mortal enemies of God till today. It's nonsense. God had no bone to pick with them. He just said, listen, Pharaoh, it's not your fault that Joseph ended up with you and that my people came to your country. And you did a good job in the beginning to take care of them. But, that was just temporary. My plan is not for my people to live in Egypt. So thank you for taking care of them. I've come to reclaim my property. Amen. See? He said, let my people go, that they may worship me. Finish. If God wants his people, don't hold them back. It's very dangerous. And so this Egyptian guy, this Pharaoh said, oh, who is the Lord? And remember, there was a Pharaoh who loved Joseph. And God blessed that Pharaoh. And he blessed Egypt during the time of Joseph. How often do we preach that? Egypt was the only country blessed in the entire world. Egypt became the breadbasket of the world. When Alexander the Great was conquering nations, he had to destroy a place called Tyre in Lebanon because they refused to surrender. But he loved Egypt. And the Egyptians loved him. They even worshipped him as a god. God have mercy. They said, you are the son of Amun. And he was surprised. Oh, wow, am I a god? Oh, anyhow, he loved Egypt because it was the breadbasket of the world. And he didn't touch it. They loved him. So God wanted the same thing from Pharaoh. Listen, I like you guys. You took care of Joseph. But now what's happened to you guys? You become arrogant. Can you just give me my property? I will go. No. We're going to keep your property here. God said, Israel is my firstborn. Amen. Give me my son. Hallelujah. If you don't give God his son, he will destroy your sons and your country. So Give. What did Jesus say? Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render to God what belongs to God. Give to God what belongs to God. Don't joke with it. Amen. Give him your time. Give him your energy in the new year. Give him everything that belongs to him. Give him your tithes. Give him your offering. Give him everything. Give him what belongs to him. Otherwise, we don't want to end up in the Red Sea. God have mercy. But it's not only threats. We want his blessing. There's nothing more powerful than to know Jehovah Roi. So Hagar discovered, to her surprise, that God is not only watching over Isaac and Abraham and Sarah, but he's also watching over Ishmael and her. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Blessed discovery. So she's saying basically, it's almost like a shock to him. Oh, thou God who sees me? Wow. Who am I? Ra'ah. It comes from the word Ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd. He's shepherding me. Amen. He's keeping an eye on me. He leads me beside the still waters. A shepherd should give you water. He should be watching you. Here is a sheep about to die. What should a good shepherd do? He should create a spring of water. Amen. And he did it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes he leads you besides the still waters, and if there's no water there, he will create another one. Amen. Let us believe in 2025, the Lord will create springs of water for us out of nowhere. Amen. God never runs out of solutions. Praise God. He created the waters. He told them where to go. And he can create new springs of water. We always talk about how God caused water to come forth from the rock for Israel. But we don't talk much about how God caused water to appear for Ishmael. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Arabs could actually challenge us today and say, you know what? You all think only God loved Israel, gave them water from the rock? Hundreds of years before that time, he gave us Arabs water from the desert. God loves Arabia. And we should say amen. He does. He does. Because if Ishmael had died, there would be no Arabia. There would be no sons of Ishmael. But God made a promise to Abraham. I will bless Ishmael. He will be 12 nations. They will dwell with each other near each other. That's why we call it the Middle East. Amen. Hallelujah. There are Arabs in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Qatar, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, all over the place. They're living close to each other. And God loves them. Amen. So, in Psalm 23, verse 1, David offers us this reassurance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is such a beautiful picture. The image of a God who watches over us as a loving shepherd would care for his sheep. Hallelujah. I started by saying the word Jehovah Roi, the phrase Jehovah Roi that Hagar first uttered comes from the same root word as the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. God is watching over you. He is your shepherd. In times of crisis and in times of comfort, the shepherd is always watching. That's why I tell people, when you are having a good time, remember, Jesus is watching. He gave you that good time. Enjoy it in Jesus' name. Are you relaxing? Relax in Jesus' name. Are you going to bed to sleep? Enjoy a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. The shepherd is watching over you. Are you eating, going to, fixing a good meal? Enjoy it, because your shepherd wants you to eat well. When the shepherd sees the sheep happy, he's happy. When he sees the sheep distressed, he's distressed. When he sees the sheep in trouble, He will risk his life. Amen. Praise God. May I remind you of David? Imagine with me David watching over his sheep. I've watched some documentaries of how, I've seen lions, lionesses, eh? The male lions are lazy, by the way. They do nothing. They disappoint me. They're only nice to look at, yeah? They're majestic, the king with the mane and power. But they're useless hunters. The females do all the hunting, yeah? And you know, when you watch a female lioness beginning to stalk her prey, my goodness, that is a sight to behold. Glory be to God who made this creature. I mean, the focus, it doesn't blink even. It goes down, camouflaged in the high savanna grasslands. You know, one paw raised, the other next, and then before long, boom, it charges out of the. I mean, it can happen within a few seconds. Sometimes if you blink, it's all over. I'm saying this to remind you how watchful was David. That when a lion grabbed a lamb, I'm sure he had maybe hundreds of lambs. Look at how watchful David was. There was no lion going to surprise David. David had supernatural abilities, I'm telling you. God gave him something out of this world. Remember, he's the same guy who said, I through his God, he leaped over a wall. He broke a bow of steel. That's inhuman. Who breaks steel with their hands? So you know that lion that day realized you better find another, flock of sheep to attack. Because this shepherd is not human. He looks like you, like a human being, but he doesn't have the powers of a human being. That is how God is watching us, brothers and sisters. With a supernatural watching. Hallelujah. We say the devil is fast. He's powerful. He's cunning. God is faster than him. He's more cunning than him. Hallelujah. And the moment he grabs us in his mouth, God appears and smacks him. Hallelujah. How many times the devil tried to finish us off and the Lord, grabbed him by the throat? This is not one lamb you're not going to eat. Amen. Praise God that we have come to the end of 2024. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, that whatever plans the devil had for us, he has to wait till 2025. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure the devil is calling a meeting now for the new year. He's asking all his demons to give him an account of all, how many more years am I going to give you guys to finish off this sister, finish off that brother? And now they're thanking Jesus for the new year. This has got to stop. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We are going to Sweden. I always love the new year. Why? We put aside everything. Amen. It's a time to remember. Say, remember. The book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. Remember where God took you from. Remember what happened at Marah. Remember what happened at Rephidim. Remember, remember, remember. If you keep remembering, you will never forget. Amen. You will never be unthankful. You will never be ungrateful. Let us remember what the Lord delivered us from in 2024. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. I always go with a heart of thanksgiving, of deep, deep gratitude to worship God in Sweden during the new year. Amen. We will keep up this tradition until Jesus returns. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, David, when you think of him, we are speaking about Jehovah Roy. It comes from the word shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That means he's watching. El Ra'ah, David said. Elohim Ra'ah. Elohim is my shepherd. He's watch. Do you know that they use the same word for shepherd and to watch? Amen. The shepherd is awake the whole night, watching his sheep. Amen. God, the God of Israel, Jesus, he never sleeps nor slumbers. He watches over his people. That's why at night, you know, we just sleep. We trust the Lord. Hallelujah. We know he's watching over us. Amen. So, whether a bear would come, a lion would come, David was prepared. He would smack them. He would take away the sheep. And I'm sure they realized later that it's not worth it. This shepherd is powerful. Our shepherd is powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. David is the same man in Psalm 139, verse 16. He told God, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Thine eyes did see, say Jehovah Roi. He's saying, before I was born, you were my shepherd. Did you know that God was your shepherd in the womb? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He didn't start to watch over us when we were born, came out of our mother's womb. I remember Peter, our son, one time, his mother, we felt certain there was no heartbeat. I mean, the child was dead in the womb. I just laid my hands, prayed in Jesus' name, and after some time, there was a clear pulse we felt. God was watching over him in the womb. Praise God. He's Jehovah Roi. He is El Ra. Even in our womb, in the womb, praise God. Before you were born, he was watching over you. Amen. Praise God. It is for that reason, as Christians, we believe all life is holy, precious. Amen. Yes, I understand. It's a woman's body. A woman has the right to do whatever she wants over her body. We live in democracies. We respect that. But as Christians who look at the Word of God, who understand the source of life, the meaning of life, we believe that all life is from God. And if the Lord is watching over, let the child live. Abraham said, "Let Ishmael live." Amen. Who knows what that child will become? Who knows? If God is watching over a child, why would I kill the child? Amen. Let the child grow. If God has numbered the days of that child. Hallelujah. Let's not play God. Let only God play his role as God in the lives of children. Praise God. So when we continue, the story of Hagar, Jehovah Roi, but we see it throughout the Bible. David's commitment to his sheep, totally unafraid, risks his life for the sheep. It was there that David demonstrated he is the right person to be the king of Israel. You know who is a leader? A leader is somebody who leads from the front. A leader is not a coward. A leader is ready to lay his life down or her life down for the people he or she are leading. Amen. Otherwise, you're no leader. You know why Alexander the Great, he's called the Great, why he died young? People still don't know why he died, how he died. He was young, in his 30s. Exhaustion, he was always leading from the front. He lived like the soldiers. He wanted no special treatment. He was in the thick of the battle, so he suffered many wounds, exhaustion, and perhaps even poisoning. You never know. You know, his father was assassinated, Philip of Macedon. It was not common with intrigues and, you know, his kingdom split up in four directions, you know, the Ptolemies, the Seleucids, but any one of them could have killed him, who knows? But let's leave Alexander anyhow. But let's talk about Hagar the Great here. Amen. David the Great. For us, these people are wonderful people. So what we see is people testifying in the Bible that the Lord indeed is their shepherd. And I'm saying to you, this is one of the powerful themes for the new year. Say, the Lord is my shepherd in 2025. I shall not fear. Say, I shall not fear. Sometimes the future brings fear. Maybe there are bills to pay and you don't know how you're going to pay them. So 2025 is frightening you. Maybe you have a child who you're afraid is going to fail in life. The future torments us. And somebody said most of it doesn't come through. But tell that to our souls, our psyche. Doesn't want to believe that. All will be well. Well, my message to you for 2025 is stand on this word of God. Say, the Lord is my shepherd in 2025. Say with me, the Lord is my shepherd in 2025. Say, I shall not want in 2025. Praise God. I shall not want. He will satisfy your soul. Are there enemies around you? He will prepare a table before you, before your enemies in 2025. If you say amen, if you believe what I'm saying, it will happen. We will meet in 2025, December, in Jesus' name. And you will testify, indeed, the Lord was my shepherd in 2025. I did not want anything in 2025. My soul was satisfied. Hallelujah. Blessed now am I, my soul they satisfy. We sing that song. Drinking at the springs of living waters. A wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise God. That will be our testimony in 2025. Praise God. Jesus is going to be our shepherd. He will watch over us. Praise Jesus. Let me continue. So, we know that, yes, David was the example. He was the perfection. He was the standard of the shepherd in human terms. But even David forgot when he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah. He had Uriah killed. And he took the wife of this man. What happened, David? Have you forgotten that the Lord is also your shepherd when you are sinning? Can we believe that God is watching us when we do bad things, wrong things? If we can say the Lord is my shepherd no matter whatever I do, and you always remember the Lord is watching whatever you do. David somehow forgot it at that time. And, you know, we want God to watch us only when the Philistines are trying to attack us. Yeah. When King Saul is chasing me, the Lord is my shepherd. When I don't have water in the desert, I say the Lord is my shepherd. But what about the time when I have power? The Lord gave you that power. You're in the palace. You have six wives behind you. And yet, you lust after another one. And the husband of that woman, his life becomes nothing to you. And you forget life is precious in the eyes of God. All this happens when we forget the Lord is our shepherd. He's watching us. We remember Joseph in Egypt. Joseph, he told the wife of Potiphar, "You may think nobody's watching us because maybe your guards are blind. You know, maybe the Egyptian guards can only see in certain areas." But for him, the God of Israel is the God also of Egypt. "The God of my father Jacob, he sees everything. I was in prison, he saw me. I was thrown into a well by my brothers, he saw me. He was Jehovah Jireh. And now, Mrs. Potiphar, my God is still Jehovah Roy." Hallelujah. "He's watching. I will have nothing to do with you because my God is watching." Ah, oh, hallelujah. If we can teach everybody, beginning with ourselves, Jehovah Roy, Jehovah Ra'ah, hallelujah. He is watching us. Amen. He is keeping an eye out for us. Praise God. He's watching. Praise God. Say Jehovah Roy, Jehovah Roy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. David's life shows us that despite our failings, God remains our shepherd. He is ready to lead us back to the paths of righteousness. Amen. The same God who saw David's struggles against Saul now saw David's abuse against Uriah. And at the same time, he's a shepherd who brought David back to where he should be. When you sin against God, you have to know that only God can bring you back to the place that you left. Amen. He knows the way. He will take you there. The sheep always follow the shepherd. They don't try to go places on their own. Hallelujah. Your shepherd will restore your soul. Notice what Paul David said. "He restoreth my soul." This is profound. He's speaking about his whole life. And he uses God as this metaphor of the shepherd. When I fell down, he was watching over me. When the lion came, he was watching over me. When Goliath came, he's watching over me. Ah, praise God. Praise God. This is the story of our lives. It should be the story of your life. There's no Christian who lives many years and doesn't go through this roller coaster of emotions, experiences, some good, some bad, but then through it all we say, "He restoreth my soul." Hallelujah. Praise God. He picked me up when I was down. Amen. My shepherd never stops watching over me. Say, Jehovah Roy, Jehovah Roy. If you say, "I've fallen, Brother Paul," well, you have fallen in the hands of Jesus. Jesus is looking at you saying, "Why are you lying on the palm of my hand? Can you get up?" Hallelujah. You know, some people want to act like they've fallen, it's finished. No, you actually have fallen, you are lying in the hands of the Lord. Amen. In the palm of his hand. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that Hagar's experience was profound. She discovered for the first time, remember, no miracle happened in her life. Nothing. It was all happening in Abraham's life. You remember? Abraham is the one who was experiencing all the blessings. He defeated the five kings of the plain. He got the miracle of Isaac. God came to eat with him in the plains of Mamre. All of these things had nothing to do with Hagar. She must have felt like a nobody. Have you been in a church where everybody seems to experience miracles with Jesus except you? And you begin to wonder, maybe I'm Hagar, I'm an Egyptian. Nothing happens with me. I'm an outsider. Poor me. Woe is me. But now, for the first time in her life, Hagar experienced a miracle, praise God. This miracle was her own miracle. Amen. She's not sharing it with Abraham. She's not sharing it with anybody. And he say with me, Jesus will give me my own miracle in 2025. Because he's Jehovah Roi. He sees me. He doesn't see only Abraham. Sometimes you get tired of those Christians. God bless them, but you become jealous of them. And you won't tell them, you know, God bless you, but I've had enough of you talking about all your miracles. I never seem to have a miracle to share with you. You understand where I'm coming from. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus will give each and every one of us our own miracle. You know, that miracle belongs only to Hagar. It doesn't, she doesn't, she's not going to share it with anybody. You know what God told Moses? Write it down. Moses must have been surprised, Lord. You know, we don't have good relations with the Egyptians. This is not going to be nice, Lord. You know, I'm not, it's, this is not in the Bible, but you understand what, you know, Moses was writing this afterwards, yeah? After the Egyptians were, now God is saying, write about Hagar, the Egyptians. I will tell you her story. I worked a miracle for him. Moses, well, Lord, you know, this is an Egyptian. We're not friends with the Egyptians. God is, does not think like human beings. Amen. For him, there is no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile, no male, no female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Abraham, the father of many nations, he's from Syria. We should pray for Syria. They gave us Abraham. So what? You know, some of us are thanking the USA for giving us the internet and giving us the aeroplane and a lot of things, most of the patents for McDonald's. Some young people are thanking the USA for McDonald's and Burger King. When I ask them, what do you think like about the USA? Oh, they gave us McDonald's and KFC. I'm not sure if that's something to be thankful for. It leads many of us to an early death. But anyhow, we're happy they gave us. I love KFC. I love McDonald's. Yeah, I'm loving it. But I'm saying we need to thank God for Syria. You know, we need to think differently. Praise God. We think that Syria only is exporting terrorism, exporting ISIS and jihad. This is what the West tells us sometimes. The West is best. Or they say the West and the rest. No. Many good things. Abraham came from Syria. Praise God. Jesus came from heaven through Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Or he came through Israel from heaven. Hallelujah. So let's be thankful. God uses everybody. I've seen that. He loves everyone. They're all his children. They're all his creation. The gospel is for the whole world, universal. Amen. So Hagar had her own miracle. Say with me, I will get my own miracle. Do you have your own miracle? Praise God. Yes, every Christian should have their own miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know the apostles all received a miraculous call from Jesus one by one? The way he called Matthew, he did not call Peter. The way he called Nathaniel, he did not call Andrew. He made each one unique. He could have called all of them together at one time in the same way. But God, who makes even the fingerprints of twins to be distinct, he's a God of uniqueness, praise God. You know, there was a philosopher 400 years ago. He loved God, by the way. His name was Leibniz. We call him Leibniz. And he said there was a princess with him, German princess. And she was asking if one leaf can be identical to another leaf in the same tree. And he said, no. Every leaf is unique. Everything in nature is unique. She was surprised. And that's what we call Leibniz's law. In other words, when it comes to identity today, we use the law of Leibniz. No two people are the same. Ah, praise God. You can't clone me. You cannot clone Brother Simon, Sister Hyman, or to anybody here. You won't get the same person. God makes us unique. Say, made by Jesus. Say, made in Japan. Made in France. Well, all of you are made by God. Hallelujah. France and Japan and everybody. Amen. And he made everybody unique. That's why when I hear people trying to say, we French people, we Japanese, I smile because I know it's not true. You think you are the same, you're not the same. Just go check. One American talk to another American. See if you're identical. One Frenchman speak to another Frenchman or Frenchwoman. See if you're identical. Why do you think there are civil wars in countries? People are not the same. They imagine themselves to be the same, but they don't even see that they're evolving. They're, when I say evolving, I mean not evolution, evolving biologically, evolving culturally. Even you've changed compared to what you used to be before. So, God is a God who loves uniqueness. He made you unique. He wants to give you a unique miracle. As Leibniz said, God created everybody unique. Hallelujah. But you know, today in philosophy, they don't want to mention that. The ones who talk about God, they remove that part. They will tell you about René Descartes, the father of Western philosophy. Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. But they won't tell you that the guy was very religious. Just talking about God all the time. So, we have to understand. Say, I am unique because God made me unique. God loves difference. And we have to learn to have the capacity to live with differences. This is what Stuart Hall said, one of the greatest Jamaican British sociologists, Stuart Hall. If you haven't heard of him, take this free from a professor. I love Stuart Hall. He's one of my favorite. I've been asked to make a call for papers, 40 papers at three universities in Norway, and I've used Stuart Hall. And I said, you're invited to send a paper, and it will be published by Taylor and Francis, one of the biggest publishers that we have in academic publishing. So, Stuart Hall, you can Google him. He passed away now, Jamaican. And Stuart Hall said, the greatest challenge of the 21st century will be the capacity to live with difference. We are different, but we don't want to accept that we are different. Because, you know, some people like to make everybody the same, isn't it? Unless you are like us. Yeah? Let Jesus change people. That's why people go to war. They're trying to change people. To agree with me. Agree with me or else. Thank God for difference. Let Hagar be Hagar. Let Abraham be Abraham. God has a miracle for all of them. Our job is to share the gospel with people. Don't try to make them whatever you are. Amen. Don't try to make Norwegians into Danes. It's not going to happen. If that was going to happen, they would have done it by themselves. They were in a union. Norway said goodbye. They changed their language, the spelling. They speak the same language, but they said, we are different. We don't want to be around you. Sorry, Brother Kalle. So, don't try to make the Spanish into Americans. So in the USA, there's a debate. They wanted to shut down Spanish. An English-only policy. Well, try that in Miami. Sister Angela Edwards knows what I'm speaking. Try that in Texas. People, there have been law cases, there have been litigations, there have been, you know. We try to make everybody the same as us. It's not going to happen. Stop that. Amen. respect everybody. Ethiopians cannot make me into an Ethiopian. Eritreans cannot make Ethiopians into Eritrean. Ethiopians cannot make Eritreans into Ethiopian. Believe that God loves differences. That's why God gave us so many languages at the Tower of Babel. God is behind differences. Amen. Can we respect it? Just give the gospel to people and leave it at that. Amen. If they want to dress differently, if they eat differently, if they talk loudly, you know, Norwegians don't like to talk normally. They like to be quiet. The best thing a Norwegian can do is go to the mountain with somebody who will not talk with them. I'm exaggerating, but this is from a book about how Norwegians are. An Englishman who observed them, you know, just joking. But there's some truth there. Norwegians just don't like to talk unnecessarily. They don't like small talk. Let's be quiet. That's why they love the forest. The forest does not speak back to them. The forest respects their privacy, their space. So people come to Norway and they're all surprised. Everybody's quiet in the bus. Everybody's quiet in the train. Countries and people are different. And you go to some countries and they shout at the top of their voices. And then you realize I've lived too long in Norway. This person is speaking too loud. Wow, why do they speak so loud? And then you realize, no, you've changed. So my point, I'm just using, see, Hagar must get her miracle. Do not envy her miracle, praise God. God is a God of the Egyptians. He's a God of the Syrians. He chose a Syrian. He gave a miracle to an Egyptian. All of this is way before Israel existed. We've got to be careful. Again and again, I keep saying this chosen people syndrome can be a problem. Can you say with me, the whole world is chosen by God? Because Jesus died for the whole world. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they lifted Jesus up off the earth. Maybe that's a sign he was dying for the whole world. He stretched his hands out to the north, south, east, west to show he's dying not only for Israel, the whole world he's dying for. Amen. He rose up for the whole world. That's why we still keep Sunday as a holiday. It should not be a holiday, it should be a holy day. Because Jesus Christ rose up in Jerusalem from the tomb on the third day. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm chosen and you are chosen. We're all chosen in Jesus' name. This is very important. Don't let nobody tell you you are not chosen. Amen. So when we go forward, we've got to understand. Now, let me come to the other part briefly. So it's one thing God sees us. But now, you know what Hagar said to God? Let's go back to Genesis 16, verse 13. She said, thou, God, seest me. Yeah? But she added something amazing. She said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? She was shocked. She said, now, I'm seeing you seeing me. Isn't that amazing? I'm seeing God see me. Hallelujah. That is special. Have you seen God seeing you? See you. When God did this miracle for her, for the first time, she saw God. Sometimes people don't see God, they don't observe him. And then he suddenly does something amazing, something powerful in your life. And then you look up and say, oh my goodness, I see God. I see God seeing me. Hallelujah. May 2025 be such a year that you see God seeing you. Amen. May he do something so powerful that you see him. Amen. He has been seeing you. But now may he do something to grab your attention. Something so powerful that you forget the desert, you forget Ishmael, you forget that you're dying of thirst, you forget Sarah, you forget Abraham, you forget everybody. And all you say is, ah, I see you. Amen. I see you seeing me. May Jesus do something like this for you in 2025. May he grab your attention like never before. Hallelujah. May it be the year of your renewal in your relation with Jesus. A new time. A powerful walk with him. May you see him seeing you. Hallelujah. God always wants to open eyes. He wants us to see that he's actually watching. But very often we are not. Remember Balaam. The angel is there the whole time with a sword, watching him. The donkey could say Jehovah Roy, not Balaam. The donkey is saying Jehovah Roy. But Balaam is saying, I only see you, donkey, misbehaving. Started to beat the donkey. Beware when your donkey behaves strangely and doesn't obey you. Maybe the donkey is seeing God, Jehovah Roy. Hallelujah. Sometimes when he's a prophet, he used to boast. He used to say, thus saith Balaam, whose eyes are open. You liar. The donkey is a prophet. The donkey's eyes are open. You're blind, Balaam. When your donkey is a better prophet than you, if your dog can see something and you can't, in the spiritual realm, something is wrong. I pray Jesus will open eyes in 2025. I pray we will see him seeing us. It's very dangerous not to see the spiritual world sometimes. Balaam could have died and not known why he died, but his donkey would know. The donkey would have a new master. He would tell his new master, when I stop and refuse to go, you better listen to me because I'm the prophet and I may save your life. The donkey saved his life. That is what a prophet is supposed to do, see the danger coming and warn the others. And this prophet failed. But the donkey, I see God seeing me. Hallelujah. Jehovah Roy. Amen. May your eyes be open in 2025. May you see God seeing you. The man born blind in John chapter 9, the moment his eyes were open, guess what he saw? He saw the eyes of Jesus watching him. God doesn't need those eyes to see this blind man. But what a blessing that when the Word was manifested in flesh, when the Word was made flesh and had eyes, the first person this blind man saw when he opened his eyes was Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. How can he ever have forgotten the eyes of Jesus the rest of his life? Nobody could convince him of anything after that. He said, I don't know what you people know about this man, but I'm telling you, I was born blind. And now I see, and the first person I saw is this man, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you see nothing else in 2025, may you see at least Jesus. Jesus seeing you, see him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to believe Jesus is watching us. Hallelujah. We need to understand you may feel forgotten. Moses felt forgotten for 40 years. Let me remind you. Are you entering 2025 feeling forgotten of God? 40 years. And suddenly God appears. And what does he tell him? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, I have seen, Jehovah Roi, the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Hallelujah. This God sees our sufferings. He's not a distant God. He sees. Amen. What a profound. When Moses encountered God and was convinced God had never stopped watching Israel, he became a powerful conduit for God's deliverance, not only for himself. First, he had to deliver himself from believing that God no longer sees Israel. We must deliver ourselves from this belief that God is not watching us, because it can have extremely serious consequences. Listen to me. Elijah, when he believed, if the devil made him believe that God is not watching you anymore, how? Didn't the fire come down from heaven? Why is what happened? You see? The devil made him believe God is not watching you anymore. So he went to Horeb, became depressed, suicidal, until God had to make him see. The earthquake, the storm, everything. Wake him up. Praise God. Sometimes that's what it takes. And then the still small voice. Praise God. The still small voice. May you hear the still small voice in 2025. May God make you understand that He is always Jehovah Roi. Amen. He's always Jehovah Roi, the God who sees us. Jesus bless you. Why don't we pray in conclusion? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message, a message of hope, a message of comfort for your people. I don't know the circumstances of your people, but we know one thing. You are Jehovah Roi, the God who sees. You promised you will never leave nor forsake your people. Whatever they're going through, you see. And we have faith that you will intervene so that they will see you. You will reverse their circumstances and let them know there's no cause for despair. Hallelujah. They can gird up their loins and go back to do the work they were supposed to do. In 2025, be the Jehovah Roi of your people. Be the El Ra'ah, hallelujah, the God who is our shepherd, who watches over us. Watch over your people. Bless them, I pray you, in Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Shower them daily with your mercies, I pray you, Jesus, hallelujah. Lead them beside the still waters, hallelujah. Comfort them. See their affliction. Be our God in Jesus' name. We give all the honor, the praise to you. All this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. The church says amen. God bless you.